Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zolasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. If there is still one myth passed on most often by healthcare and weight loss professionals, it goes something like this. You have to eat enough calories every day or you'll go into starvation mode and your body will shut down. Now, the problem with that statement is that there's no scientific evidence to support it. On this podcast, I'm going to try to make sense out of the statement, review the science on which it may be based, the Minnesota starvation experiment, and provide a more realistic explanation of something called adaptive thermogenesis. Let's define starvation mode first. What people refer to as a starvation mode is a very low level of caloric intake that causes the body to start burning protein stored in muscle rather than body fat, and the rate of weight loss slows down. This seems the opposite of what we think intuitively. The fewer calories we eat, the more weight we can lose. Starvation mode would indicate that if we eat below a certain caloric level, we won't lose weight at the rate we think we should. The problem is that there's not enough scientific evidence to support it. If there were, a target number of calories tied to the initial body weight could be established. The problem is that, based on research, no one can really determine the caloric level at which starvation mode begins. What is usually stated is that while a specific number can't be given, the best guess is that it must be less than 1,000 or so calories per day. And further, no timeline is given at which point starvation mode begins. We've all gone days without eating because of a cold or more likely the flu. Did our bodies start to shut down because we didn't eat? No. Enter the Minnesota starvation experiment. During World War II, Dr. Ansel Keys of the University of Minnesota and his research group were given permission to examine the effects of starvation on human subjects. The reason was that due to the war in Europe, fewer crops would be planted and harvested. Starvation was sure to occur. 32 subjects were chosen from an extensive list of conscientious objectors to the war. After determining a baseline of adequate caloric intake to maintain the subject's normal weight, the number of calories was cut to attain a 25% weight loss in 24 weeks, cutting the baseline calories about in half. Extensive data were collected on metabolism, body fat, lean body mass, and numerous psychological parameters. In fact, this study was one of the first to identify the effects of dieting and anorexia nervosa on human beings. As expected, subjects all lost weight, up to 25% of their original body weight. The psychological strain was significant, and as the study continued, the subjects became obsessed with food. From a metabolic perspective, metabolism decreased as caloric intake decreased, which led to the theory of starvation mode. Now, the important point is that the decreases in metabolism was proportional to the weight loss. The caloric intake was cut in half. The average was about 1,500 calories per day. The subject's metabolism didn't shut down. It just declined proportionately. In a continuation of the study, the subjects resumed eating a normal diet to determine how long it would take to regain the weight that they lost. Many subjects gained back even more weight than they had lost. So maybe this is where yo-yo dieting comes from. We don't know. What seems to have attracted attention was that subjects lost some muscle mass in addition to body fat. While unexpected, it shouldn't have attracted the attention it did. Why not? Simply because a person doesn't need as much muscle to carry around 150 pounds as he or she does to carry around 200 pounds. It should be expected that a person who loses weight will lose some muscle mass as well. In a further analysis of the original data, researchers established that the proportion of body fat and protein lost during the study was directly proportional to the body fat of the subjects at the beginning of the study. In short, those who had higher body fat lost more fat first and at a higher proportion. Those who didn't have much body fat lost more muscle mass. Even though the original experiment is most likely the basis for much of what's said about starvation and weight loss, the single most important factor that affected the results is rarely mentioned. Only two subjects could be classified as overweight, and none were obese. The Minnesota experiment established the effects of starvation on normal weight people, not overweight or obese people. It has very little, if anything, to do with the obesity crisis the United States and Canada face today. There are many other factors as to why this study has limited application to weight loss today, but the lack of obese subjects is the most significant. And then there's this concept of adaptive thermogenesis. After reading several papers about it, it can literally mean several things. The initial research suggested that weight loss was accelerated for a period of time during a weight loss program. After several weeks, the metabolism normalized to reflect the person's actual food intake and body weight. In still other studies, the focus was on a longer-lasting decrease in metabolism, thereby requiring a further reduction in calories to maintain weight loss. Still another use of the term adaptive thermogenesis was used to explain a rapid weight gain of fat versus muscle mass after a return to a typical eating pattern. I really can't provide clarity to you about adaptive thermogenesis because the research is relatively sparse in humans with different variables examined in different studies over the decades. But let me give you an educated theory about what may be going on with overweight or obese people who attempt to lose weight and maintain it. At the initial part of weight loss, maybe up to 6 weeks, more weight is lost than would be predicted based on the number of calories restricted every day. Now, that could simply be attributed to inaccurate estimates of the calories needed to maintain the starting weight. Calories are reduced a specific number or a certain percentage, and the weight loss is greater than would be expected. I've experienced that myself. There are theories about leptin, brown fat, and genetics, to mention a few. I would not doubt that genetics are involved, but we really haven't gotten a handle on which genes nor what they actually do. Once somebody has lost the weight they want to lose, they are faced with an abundance of food in westernized society. It's just so easy to slowly but surely regain weight unless a person is diligent about eating and exercising. I've done that several times myself. It's not a mystery. I have yet to meet a person who found a way to eat that helped them lose weight, not maintain it, as long as they continued with a healthy eating plan and sustained an exercise program. The concern is that when weight is gained back, it's mostly fat mass instead of muscle mass. And that's not really a mystery either. It takes longer to build back muscle than it does to overeat and fill up fat cells. Yes, there is a lowering of metabolism due to the loss of muscle. But if a person works to add back muscle, they can raise their metabolism to match their new distribution of fat to lean tissue in the body. It just gets harder to do the older that we get. That's my observation and interpretation of the limited science on adaptive thermogenesis. The solution is simple, yet, man, it's not easy. Eat less, eat better, move more. The trick is you got to do that for life. Simple to say, difficult to do. That's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.